I think that's how it goes. I think that's exactly how it goes.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Stranger Things season 5. And if you haven't grasped the good news already, Ryan James back at it again.
Yeah, and, well, I think we all remember when season 1 of Stranger Things came out 25 years ago, and we were all really young, and the cast was really young, too. And now we've grown older. Somehow the cast lapped us and got older than we are, even though they started out younger. It's weird.
Yeah, no, the space-time continuum, like in the show, sort of folded in on itself and they aged twice as much. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's interesting how that, like, TV show production has gotten so slow. It's apparently gotten dense like a black star. It makes everybody else, like, you know, change their relative time. And now the girl who plays Eleven looks like she's seriously 30.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's brought up for every other TV show, this idea that if you are putting out, you know, 8 episodes, which to be fair, in Stranger Things' case, they were all basically mini movies. But if you're waiting, or not waiting, but you don't have the ability to put it out within 2 or 3 years, then a audience deserves to be probably pretty mad at you, Duffer Brothers.
Here's something I should have discussed with Ryan previous to like a minute ago. Are we talking about season 5 in its entirety, or merely the second half of season 5, which is what's aired most recently?
Oh, yeah, no. For me, I would stick to volume 2 with a emphasis on the finale. Just because it is, you know, beginning of 2026 right now, we are 12 days out.
I think many of us do not remember the first half of season 5 anyway, you know?
No.
It's been, having been so long.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing stuff in the radio station. We're only a few days out, to be fair, of when the super secret secondary finale was supposed to air. Did you see that shit on the internet?
Yeah, I super secret, was it?
Yeah, it was just that the internet made up that the finale couldn't have been the actual finale when it really felt like a finale, by the way. But they had to have a super secret finale, and then they crashed Netflix trying to watch it, which, I don't know. I read as mainly
wait,
dumb.
So you're saying they came back a week later and they're like, now that first finale was clearly a prank.
Correct. Like,
good one, yes. Duffer Brothers. You got us again.
That was the ongoing scenario in which the internet put upon Stranger Things. That could not have been the end when they wrapped up everything, perhaps not the way that y'all wanted it to be wrapped up. Yeah, so... no, we can talk about, I think, again, volume 2, because it's what we remember best. And, again, the finale, I believe, is where you want to spend most of your time. We can get there meanderingly wise, but again, it's the part that most people are talking about anyway.
So I don't even remember, like, what was the cutoff point? It was season 5.2 are episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8. Right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So, yeah, those were the weakest ones in the season for sure. Too bad we're about to gloss. The first half I thought was a bit superior to the second half, which everybody hated. But the whole season was bad. We'll start there, folks. If you're not TDLR, it was very bad season.
Yeah, so at the end of episode 4, which was entitled Sorcerer, is when Will figured out that he could port into the Demogorgons and make them stop slicing up children and adults the like. And then Vecna was just like, you know why I use children? Because they're dumb and young and perfect vessels for my evil plans.
And I should say that, sorry, Adam, cut all this out with my story. But
he won't. That is something really important to note here going forward, James. He will cut zero of this out.
That scene where Will like takes the 11 pose and yeah. and does like a psychic. That was probably the last pretty cool scene of season 5. And then everything after that was pretty lame, I would say. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, folks. Everything after the last like pretty good scene in season 5, which is the one Ryan was just talking about.
Sure. I yeah, there's going to be a bit of a dichotomy here between you and I and our feelings on this subject, I feel, going into this, which I guess is good because that sometimes makes good podcasting. I think if you had visited me the moment after season 5 ended, we would be closer with our vibes. With some time to think about it, the finale left a lot to be desired. I don't like the way they did a lot of things. There are like one or two moments that I'm sure we'll go over that just make no sense, as the internet has pointed out a trillion times. But my TLDR is I don't think it was very good either, but I sincerely enjoyed myself while watching the finale. Will remember the good parts fondly, and that's the actual main thing, is that I'm going to remember the good stuff and the bad stuff, which, as you said, is a lot of it, I am going to let fall off my shoulders, especially for the finale's sake, but that doesn't speak to the first 7 episodes before we got there, a lot of which is going to end up being forgetful or just forgettable, but two, like, I don't know. For me, I just keep thinking back to the Will sits around in a circle while the world ends and does his entire coming out story, a moment that is supposed to be beautiful, a moment that we're supposed to slow down and really give this character the time of day. And we're all just looking around in a circle and it takes 20 minutes. And like, there are just the main theme of season 5 is missed opportunities. The paramount of which was that scene and just how poorly it was done.
Yeah, I watched all of season 5 as one thing. I didn't watch it in halves, which I guess is probably most people's experience. And I guess I probably should have, because I feel like the show didn't really trust anybody was going to do it my way, because they kind of did have the characters endlessly discuss the things that happened in the first half of the season, just to make sure, like, dum-dums like me didn't forget.
Yeah, I mean, the way they wrote the 5th season was with an assumption. And that assumption was that while people were watching it, they were also looking at their phones, which is an attack on the audience, but I think an attack that makes a lot of sense. I think that is how a lot of people were watching Stranger Things season 5, let alone any other television where they're barely paying attention. And because of that, I've seen so many supercuts on the internet of a character being like, listen, guys, here's what happened recently, if everyone doesn't remember, over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I will say in each one of these episodes, 5, 6, 7, and 8, there is a scene where Will and his mother just sit down and discuss, like, the implications of the thing that most recently happened to Will. Will be like, Mom, I need to tell you about the thing that just happened to me in my last most recent scene. And she's like, my God, Will, I can't believe that. I underestimated you. And they have that conversation 4 times in 4 episodes.
Yeah, which is honestly fine. It's not good, but it's fine, except for the fact that it's sort of all they gave Winona Ryder to do in the second half of the season. And they just kind of threw away their best actor on screen and focused in on the children, which you have to do to some degree. But that's also, I think, something perhaps we can dive a bit more into. Like, a few of these actors weren't good, and their performances were lackluster. And when you have Winona Ryder, a way that you can kind of get around that is by putting her on screen more and having her say more words. But they just decided completely against that.
And I cannot believe that Millie Bobby Brown had a contract that allowed her to get facial plastic surgery in between seasons. Crazy that that was allowed. Crazy that she did that, knowing that she was going to film the last season of the show.
It was distracting. Yeah. I mean, when she would smile, the top of her head wouldn't move, which, again, if I had known nothing going into it, if I wasn't seriously addicted to the internet, then it wouldn't have affected me as much. Also, if I didn't have a person next to me being like, her face is a solid monument to the ability of never moving again. And that was being chirped in my ear during it, which to be fair was true, but I was learning it against my will, whether it be on screen or next to me.
So Ryan, nobody respects women more than Ryan and I, and we're not, again, against plastic surgery in general. However, okay. it's a strange narrative. Like, I can't believe just like to let the actor do it in between seasons. And nobody brought up that's like, don't you think that's going to be weird to the audience when you suddenly have a new face? And yeah. It would maybe be even less weird if they like, I'm sorry to say, the changes that she had done and whatever they were in particular, I'm not sure. It does not look good on her. I don't want to bully people who get plastic surgery, all of them, but this time it was not a great job. Sorry. She looks like handsome Squidward, truly. Yeah. Or like the Chad guy meme, and it ruined all of season 5 for me.
Yeah, it ruined all of it for you?
Yes, because Eleven was my favorite character, and she, first of all, as you said, lost the ability to emote with her face, and yeah. So like, that's half of your acting ability right there.
Sure.
is the face you're going to pull, and now you can't do any of them. And so I could not really enjoy the scenes where she's acting, and I always thought she was a pretty good actress. And it's not like she can't deliver the lines well. She just had, there's nothing. It's like looking at one of the CGI animals for The Lion King. There's no emotion coming off of her face.
Yeah, a lot to break down there. Number one, you know what is indicative of people who respect women? The folks who say it out loud. That's how you know they do when they tell you they do. Secondarily to that, she got lip filler and she got Botox. Those two things are what happened. And honestly, I don't think it would have affected me at all, as I previously stated, except for the fact that, you know, the bottom half of her face grew 3 sizes that day. But, you know, she was never my favorite character. Millie Bobby Brown is like a leading actress star. She just filmed Enola Holmes 3. She has 3 movies that happened in the middle of shooting Stranger Things. She's the breakout star of the show, although Sadie Sink might be looking back on this 10 to 15 years from now and saying otherwise. But her performance, while it wasn't awesome, or at least up to the standards of her performance as a child from seasons 1 to 4.
It's hard to act when you can't move your face.
I mean, yeah, sure. But you can also, the words you're saying also matter a little bit, James. And also sometimes right, those weren't very good.
Well, and when everything you've been given to say is like boring garbage exposition, that's you can't move your face and everything you say is boring. That's a hard acting gig.
Okay, but can I ask you this? Who was your favorite performance of season 5?
I don't think any of them did particularly well, but I will say that, like, Robin and, I'm trying to remember the characters' names and not say what the actors' names are. Robin and Punky Skater Girl.
Oh, Max.
Max and Robin, I think, like, they really, and also Finn Wolfhard And also, like, the not Will, who was terrible, but the other three boys were fine. They did ably. I would say Robin and Max and Big Hair phoned it in the least.
Sure.
And everybody else, I guess, did a decent job. The worst were Will, who was overacting in every scene, Eleven, who was underacting in every scene, and Holly, who was like child acting in every scene.
The thing about Will was, I just remember so vividly, they were all like saying a line and were crying. This was in the finale. In fact, I think it was kind of the end scene where they all were going around a table saying a thing and trying to out-act each other. And just what was so damning for Will Byers, played by Noah Shapp, was that they placed him saying his after Max's line, after Sadie Sink talked, and Sadie Sink was crying and really giving it her all. And then they cut to Will, and he was like, it was like he made the conscious decision, like, oh, you're going to cry? Then I'm going to cry harder. And he just, like, didn't land it at all.
Yeah, he was especially bad. I mean, most of the characters, like, the other three boys didn't really get too much to do, and I think they tried their best. The Jonathan and the other teenage characters.
Nancy?
Nancy and...
Rambo,
yeah. They had pretty boring plots as well. Their plot was, like, they broke up because you usually break up with the people you date in high school. Okay. Good point, Duffer's Brothers. You're right, I guess.
I mean, they broke up in a goop room, though. And also, by the way, scene.
Instead of just making random commentary, should we just, like, go through the episodes, do you think? As we said we were gonna?
I guess, yes.
I'm as guilty as you.
I believe we should, but I want to get to the end of this exact thought, which is what is indicative the most of people who are not paying attention is that a lot of folks got to the end of that scene and didn't realize they broke up.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, they also, again, like, they don't talk about it again in the rest of the show. They talk about it with other characters. So yeah, hopefully they got it eventually, but it's not. Yeah. It is not treated as a big deal at all.
All right, let's talk about the plot of this show, I guess.
So yeah, there's a big cliffhanger at the episode 4, which was last fall, and that was that Will has psychic powers now, apparently, but he doesn't have cool flashy ones. He can, like, plug in with Vecna and control demodogs and that kind of shit.
Yeah, he can guest star with powers.
So in episode 5, they're gonna mount their rescue mission to save Holly. Holly's situation is actually somewhat interesting. She's, like, plugged into a matrix connected to Vecna's brain, which is a lot like the video game The Evil Within, if anybody's played that one. Or the movie The Cell, now that I think about it. And so they're plugged in there, and it's like, you know, the 1950s. But actually, it's very dark, because in reality, they're in the Upside Down. And they're like, you know, they're like the people in the movie Aliens. They're like glued to the wall with like alien shit down their throat. It's very dark and gross.
Yeah, actually, I mean, as we find out, they're not in the Upside Down, right? They're in the Abyss, I guess. But either way, Holly is such a large part of season 5. She's screen.
The star of the show.
Honestly, she is. Also, her actress is English, which I just figured out watching an interview of her. She was great, honestly. Perhaps it was just a refreshing take on like acting as a character, although to be fair, I think she was one of the better written characters because she actually had stuff to do while she was in Kamazots, as she calls it, but you can call it whatever you would like, you know, Vecna's mind palace that she was roaming around in with Max, learning lessons to the point where if you learned enough lessons, you could escape.
So there's also a floating energy like meat sphere in the sky, which they think is like Vecna's, you know, power station. And if they blow it up with just like conventional weaponry, there's not a lot of like, fuck yeah, science in season 5. It's just like blow that shit up or shoot at it. So they're going to blow some shit up and shoot at it and get at Vecna. But actually it was a mistake because it was holding up this whole world. And there's a big cliffhanger at the end of episode 5, and you better get used to it because there's a cliffhanger at the end of all these episodes except for the finale.
Well, kind of, half. But also, yeah, at some point, Dustin figures it all out, right?
when they're all within or in and out of the Upside Down. They look at the wall at some point that Hopper and Eleven had a shootout and murdered people next to at some point as well. And then Dustin was like, oh, right, this is some sort of wormhole. And if you puncture the wall, it actually out there is just the abyss. Not actually the abyss, my bad. That's what's above the wormhole. It's space and we all just die. But like, there is an entire scene coming up here where Dustin explains the science of it all that I think could have, like, that in that moment the Duffer brothers could have written that into ChatGPT and it's like, okay, make this scene better and more concise and just, or perhaps lay the foundations for what this scene is in episodes earlier so we don't just have to take 5 minutes to describe it all.
I mean, I would not be shocked to find out that ChatGPT was involved in some part of the writing of this season.
I mean, they did a 2-hour documentary that they released and showed people. They edited it and decided that this part was a part they were going to leave in, where they're shooting episode 1 of season 5 and admit freely that as they're shooting it, they haven't finished writing the finale. That's some Westworld shit, dog.
Yeah, that's not that's probably not the best conditions to work under as an actor either. It's like, gee, I can't wait to read tomorrow's script.
It doesn't exist.
So it in episode 6, all the characters are split up by the cliffhanger in episode 5. Nancy and Jonathan are in a big goo of a room filling with goop, as Ryan mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember why it's filling with goop?
Yeah, they're climbing to the top of that hospital I think they were in, right? And at the top of said hospital, they were looking at the exotic matter in the sky, and then Nancy Ramboed it, you know, perhaps almost deleting the entire dimension they were standing in, which then made it all start to collapse, at which point the dimension and or exotic matter became goop and they almost drowned in the goop.
The sky. Yeah,
right. It was sort of melting goop and they almost drowned in it, except for apparently it turns hard when you have a real conversation about your feelings.
Same, bro. And so also, that was a dick. And so before they die, and I don't think this ever happened in a movie or TV show before, like, because usually you right before you die, you would like grab your girlfriend or your boyfriend and be like, you know, I truly love you. And I was so happy to be with you. Instead, Jonathan and Nancy are like, before we die, I just want you to know I've been trying to break up with you all month and I'm so sick of you and goodbye now.
Right, yes, we're about to drown, so let us both trauma dump and smile about it. Honestly, I'm
not at all realistic, but sure, like a very original scene. Thank you, Duffer Brothers.
Genius. Honestly, one of the better scenes of the second half of Stranger Things, with two characters that I barely care about. Jonathan, I cared about negatively. And Nancy, I do care about. But at the same time, she would then, in the future, go on to be like the bait in which the large spider is going to get. Because she, again, is Rambo and has murdered 20 people this season.
Nancy's entire character has been reduced to, like, I shoot guns. Dustin's entire character has been reduced to I miss Eddie.
Right. Yeah, that is also actually very disappointing. He sort of only talks about how he misses Eddie. Honestly, I think it's just a reminder to the audience that Eddie existed at all.
I would like to go through the latter half of season 5 again and see if there is not, like, a single thing that Dustin says or does that is not somehow like related to Eddie. It subsumed his entire character.
Right. I was about to say that the only other thing he does is like that crying monologue about Steve, where Steve continuously is trying to sacrifice and or kill himself. And then Dustin, you know, cries in his arms and says, not you. I can't have you die too. But that is just about Eddie.
Right. And also he's like, I don't want you to die the way Eddie died, but there is a scene, I don't know if it was in the latter half or if it was in an earlier, like episode 4 perhaps, where I can never remember his name. Nancy's first boyfriend who has no reason to still be in the show. What's his name? Big hair guy.
Steve Harrington?
Steve Harrington, there we go. He absolutely like calls Eddie out. He's like, if Eddie had just stopped playing the guitar like 1 minute earlier, he'd still be alive, Dustin. He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. But instead he got eaten by bats. Also, by the way, earlier we mentioned that Millie Bobby Brown and perhaps Sadie Sink are the breakout stars of this show. That's actually not true. I mean, it is true, but Joe Keery has like a number one hit on the radio over and over again.
What's this song?
End of the Beginning, where but the part that people remember is when I'm back in Chicago, I feel it, which rips.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I take
it back then.
Yeah.
He's cool. He's cool. Never mind.
He's a cool guy. I like him.
I thought he was good in this season, actually.
Yeah. It sort of turned my entire feeling about him around.
Episode 7 is called The Bridge. And this is, it's just set up for the finale. I get it all set up, put all the pins in a row so we can have an amazing finale. All the characters get it back together. All the characters get in the same room. For some reason, like, we have a overabundance of minor characters where I feel like even like, is his name Larry? Is that his name? No, Murray. Murray and the science teacher from season one are even they're like, what are we doing here?
Brett Gelman, the guy who plays Murray. Yeah, there's these great memes of like when all the kids are doing things and then Hopper, and it cuts to Hopper and Murray on the top of a building just being like, any moment now, we'll learn if anything succeeded or not.
Yeah, right. I will say, you really know we've reached like it's season 8 Game of Thrones moment because like they're doing endless callbacks to season 1. And they truly like every scene that where a piece of plot occurs, there is a scene following up where the characters are like, that was crazy, y'all. Can you believe what just happened? Because they need to make each one at least an hour long. For no reason, I guess, because they decided that.
I don't disagree with most of that statement, but I would like to slow down there for a second. And as is tradition on this podcast, no matter what we're talking about, have a long, drawn out discussion about Game of Thrones. So that I've seen that on the internet a lot. People talking about how Stranger Things season 5 is like Game of Thrones season 8. It is not.
As just as bad. At least.
Just as but bad, say, maybe, but also no, it's not just
it's
as
It's not
bad.
Just as bad, no.
It's, season
they're
eight
both bad,
of,
but yeah.
Yeah, but there's different levels to this shit, man. Like, Game of Thrones season 8, which, as I've said on this podcast a gajillion goddamn times, and is no longer interesting, but I am higher on than most people just because I think that... You know, especially like from people who talk about it and watch the show straight through, they don't think it's as bad, which I think is going to be also how people are going to receive season 5 of Stranger Things if they start it now and then get there. They will be a little bit jarred about how people's faces aren't moving, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to have as many negative feelings. Waiting for all of it has always been the actual issue. Waiting two or 3 years and then getting that is the bullshit.
Imagine if in the last season of Stranger Things, like, Eleven turns evil, kills everyone at Hawkins High, and then, like, Hopper has to put her down himself. Because that's what happened at the end of Game of Thrones, spoilers.
Right. Yeah, no. Although I will say, a thing Stranger Things did that Game of Thrones didn't do is explain itself over and over again. If Game of Thrones was made today, perhaps they would have had to do that. I think they're placating to an audience. And by the way, as much as the show wasn't up to par, Stranger Things, that is, I think a lot of this is actually a indictment of the audience, the people who are complaining on a constant basis, but also don't remember half of the episode because they were watching a TikTok about Heated Rivalry. So, like, it's not
The Duffer Brothers don't need to bow to that sensibility. Just like, well, our audience doesn't fucking even like our show, so we gotta let them. We gotta remind them what's happening every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but they've also made this like ball of plot lines that, as we arrive at episode 7 or episode 8, if they haven't completed said plot lines yet, they sort of have to hurriedly figure out how to put bows on everything. And they do try. Like, they give it their all, putting bows on everything neatly. But the main criticism, other than the pacing and other than the amount of... Actually, this is the criticism that the bows on everything had, which is all of these characters had crazy plot armor. Max should have died. It's crazy Max didn't die. 11, we're going to get there, but died. And then they were like, but maybe. Like, no, if you're going to kill someone, kill someone. Jim Hopper has to deal with the fact that he's lost two daughters, ostensibly. And that's as sad as this is going to get. But like, with the amount of plot armor happening and the amount of placating to the audience at the same time, it just sort of makes you feel dumb watching it.
Yeah, and, well, we'll talk about the ending when we get there. But
oh, sorry, I jumped ahead again, my bad.
Well, we should say, everybody remembers Callie, the other powerful psychic girl from that subplot that was pretty good in season 2. Everybody remember that?
I didn't remember that, but when she came on screen, I Googled it, and then I remembered again.
Yeah, again, remember that 20 years ago? You remember that plot line, everybody? Well, anyway, as a child, this woman was also a pretty good actor, but whoopsie-doo, it's been too long, and she also now cannot act for shit. I don't know if she got face-paralyzing plastic surgery, but she's also, like, completely wooden and stilted in every scene she's in. She's like, 11, we must kill ourselves for the greater good. I don't wanna
that doesn't sound good to me. I think she the actress is more of a victim of the words put in her mouth rather than the actual acting job that she did. She was just there to be on the side and say something to 11 that no one else is saying, which is, it will never end for us, we must kill ourselves. And 11 be like, oh, come on.
But
and
can Hopper we talk looking about at this? Her Was there a, I assumed there was, and I just, again, I was like looking at my phone. Is sure. there a narrative reason why they have to die? Callie and 11, that is? Like, if they don't die, the portal to the bad place will never close?
It's not even that, I don't think. I think more so that the military will never give up
on figuring. It's the same justification from Avatar 2. They're like, we have to leave.
Yes.
Or the bad guys will never stop being bad unless we get rid of ourselves.
If we don't kill ourselves, they'll never forgive Nancy for the mass murder she committed.
Yeah, and so then we cap off the penultimate episode with Will's coming out scene, which, again, a little bit awkward to have that happening right before that. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, from one perspective that you're like, oh, we might all die. Hear my secret now, you know. But also, like, it was just, it rang a bit forced, and Will's actor did not really carry the scene. I will say, I thought that the actor that plays Jonathan, whatever his name is, he was very good in that scene. I thought his, you know, the emotion he was trying to convey was very authentic. Same thing you already mentioned, Max, I thought was good in that scene as well. But Will, again, was the character in question, and he did not bring it performance-wise, and still, that scene did not justify itself, I think, in the minds of apparently anyone on the internet, or in my mind, that, like, it just doesn't... Maybe if they had had it in a more normal time, but it's like, we're going to go storm the bad guy's castle right now. Before we go, guys, wait, listen, even though it's the 80s, I'm coming out and you're all cool with it. Which, of course, they would be because they're his friends and they love him. But, like, again, the wrong time period for that kind of, again, to go off without a hitch. I guarantee you in the 80s, at least one of those people would have been a bigot. Think about it.
100%. Yeah. But also, let's all remember, this is the same show that, like, did Robin's story pretty well. Eloquently, honestly. And then the fact that this was the way they did Will's story. And again, you already said it. But the main check against this scene is that Noah Schopp just could not for the life of him carry it. But at the same time, I bet there's a large portion of the younger audience watching Stranger Things who doesn't know what the 80s felt like as it pertains to people within in the LGBTQ community, like, and the amount of bigotry that or the amount like, they just don't
know.
In the
80s, you would get your ass kicked for listening to metal or playing D&D. Like, people would beat your ass just for that. And any kind of deviance from the mainstream was pretty hard to accept for people, again, in like the Midwest in the suburbs. Good thing every single one of these characters is an open-minded good person. I don't know how true that to life that was of the late 80s, but you know what? I don't think there were demons back then either.
The more... the scene that's worse is when they're climbing the tower. I know I'm getting ahead of myself again, but they're climbing the tower to go into the upside down. And Mike is just like, let's slow down, you and me, Will. You know, when you said that earlier, I was like, man, I think he's talking about me. And I want to let you know, as your platonic friend, that I love you. And oh, wait, we should keep going. We're trying to save the world right now. We shouldn't stop in the middle of a tower and talk about our feelings. Okay. Sorry. My bad.
And I had thought like it would have made way more sense for Will to like come out to either his mom and brother or come out like to his, but to come out to like everyone, you know, at the exact same time. Like, again, I don't know. This is a nitpick. Everyone hated this scene. I just think I'm trying to think of ways they could have done it better. But maybe
he should have just done it with his, like you just said, with his mom or with Mike one-on-one. It should have been a more intimate scene altogether. But they didn't do that because they couldn't do that because they had everybody in one place at one time so they could all subsequently walk into a kill box in the finale.
And I'm sorry. But they were and apparently this is what the audience demands. They just want like feel good moment after feel good moment after feel good. And the characters should always like be winning and even if something bad happens to them, that maybe it didn't really happen. Maybe. Or the consequences could just be erased. Like, oh, is Max blind? No, she was blinded and it was the big cliffhanger season 4, but that was 20 years ago. We don't need that cliffhanger anymore. Max is fine.
That is my main issue, and I've already said, of the season 5, which is like there's no consequences, right? Like Max should just be dead. Steve should be forever changed in a negative way. I don't think Steve should have gotten out unscathed and just like continued to be able to live his life in a very normal way. Dustin or Lucas, pick one or pick both. One of them should have died. Jim Hopper is barely in the 5th season, but he at least has consequences where, again, he's lost a second child. And then 11, they do the wishy-washy back and forth. And Mike Wheeler is barely a character in the entire season, but still gets the amount of plot armor that he requires to stay alive.
The Mind Flayer, which is the bad guy from season 2. Everybody remember that? It's like a big spider shadow. Anyway, it's critical to Vecna's origin story in ways that are not that interesting to me. I'm so sick of Vecna. I wish he would have died at the end of season 3 when he should have died.
Oh, really? I'm actually fine. Jamie Campbell Bauer is truly one of the best performances in the show for me. Vecna, while he, I think, did overstay his welcome and they could have figured out another big bad, they could have gone back straight to just only Mind Flayer. But obviously, most of season 5 was built around the half of it was like in Vecna's mind palace. So you had to have him around to some degree. But at the same time, I'm just glad that Vecna had a moment where he could have gone good, but then decided, like, nah, actually, I like being bad. I'm going to continue to do it. Plus, his flashbacks to his childhood that, by the way, tie into the stage show. Some of the best stuff for me in season 5. And I don't care. Come at me, bitch.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Anyway.
You don't agree, which is fine.
this episode is like pretty straightforward. The Scooby gang assaults the abyss. And they with just like they're shooting guns. Eleven's using her psychic powers. She's putting her hand up and using psychic powers, but not moving her eyebrows. Will is doing the same thing. He's showing too much emotion, though, conversely. And there's a goofy scene where, like, because they have to invade Vecna's mind, so they use psychic powers, so they're in the tanks. But then Vecna plays a prank, and he tricks Hopper into breaking the tank. And then they're attacked by soldiers, and Callie gets killed, but that's okay, because she wants to die really badly.
Yeah, yeah. She cannot stand being alive. But also in that scene...
Well, in her last words, she's like, ah, this is so great, Eleven, you have to do this. Blah.
Yeah, peace out. I won't be back in some sort of half-assed storyteller arc where perhaps you're alive in the future. Blah. But at the same time, in that scene, we think that Jim Hopper shot Eleven. The moment that happened, I was like, oh my God, something real is happening. Eleven's going to die of a gunshot wound. Eh. That's fucking epic. And then, nah.
It's a hallucination. Just a classic roll rug pull. So after that, the big final battle, Nancy shoots at the mind flare, which works really well. And then... they get all the kids out. They free them, which depowers the bad guys.
Hold on, before you get there, this is my biggest problem with the Mind Flayer fight, other than the fact that it happened in like 5 minutes. Although I will say, you know, every like DM of a Dungeons and Dragons game has had this happen to them, where they've been setting up a big bad for days, months, perhaps even years, and then the party gets to them and just fucking destroys them. And
you're like, well, my character, who's like an extremely scrawny, hot teenage girl, shoots it with a machine gun. You're like, come on, that's lame.
And then it's my biggest problem with that scene, actually, not so much that Nancy Ramboed the mind flayer to death and that Mike had a flare gun or whatever the fuck. My main issue is that Steve Harrington and Dustin are underneath and stabbing it. And the fluid falling out of the big bad mind flayer isn't burning them alive for some reason. There's no, like, it's just the most inert liquid that is hitting them, and there's, again, like, that's the moment where you could have instilled consequences onto Steve and Dustin's character. But even then, it's just like, oh no, that blood is not even hot, it's actually room temp. It's perfect. They were like, oh my God, once we're done killing this mind flayer, let's take all of its blood and then have a nice bath. Like, what a fun time. Like, there are just so many moments exactly like that where you could have laid upon consequences to these fucking characters, and they just didn't do it over and over again.
Right. Here's like a hacky Jay Leno monologue joke. Like, I'm not saying Vecna was weak, but the spider monster from the end of It that got beaten to death by children was like, damn, dude, you could have tried harder.
What did Jay Leno do after? Did he just look into the camera like,
I'm he was Jay. Alive. He was doing comedy in 1985.
Better believe I don't it. Believe you.
So there's still like an hour of the finale at this point. Oh, but
yeah,
also,
I literally paused. I paused and was like, there can't be, dude.
There's a pretty cheesy scene where Winona Ryder takes an axe and just like brains Vecna, and she's like, get away from her, you bitch. And then,
oh my God, it was exactly like that. Yeah, no, it was like they watched that scene and they were like, Mrs. Weasley, we're going to copy-paste that shit. Thank you very much.
Well, it's funny that, because, like, it was, and J.K. Rowling was copy-pasting from the movie Aliens, where the exact same thing happens.
Yeah, well, you know, the best version of writing is stealing, and then at some point you stop stealing and start making up your own stuff, and it's not as good, right. And perhaps you should have kept stealing.
And then we all know what to say if, like, a monster attacks a child in front of us.
Don't do it, you gosh dang bitch.
Right. Back off, jerk.
Please.
There's a ton episode left. Just as the as soon as they defeat Vecna, then they encounter the U.S. military, which has been a huge subplot, which Ryan and I have ignored because it was so fucking boring and went nowhere.
The only time we brought it up is because Nancy murdered a bunch of them and then had subsequently no consequences at all. Linda Hamilton being here.
Yeah.
Why,
So wasted on this shit. And so, yeah, Linda Hamilton and the U.S. military, they're still looking for Eleven. Would go figure. And this time they're super evil about it. Nothing has changed. The subplot is exactly as it's been every season. And so Nancy basically takes out the Mind Flayer with one gun on her own, which had me immediately thinking, like, could the military have not handled this? If the Scooby Gang did, like, how much better equipped? I guess the military probably would not have bothered to rescue the children. And that's, like, what the main issue was. But it just really lowered the stakes for me in terms of, like, the world being destroyed. Because I think, could Vecna Flayer have taken a single tank? I don't think so.
Oh. Unclear. We will never see it, so we won't know. Right. But I do feel as though
it couldn't take a single Nancy.
No, couldn't take one Nancy. But it probably, if Vecna v tank, I assume that Vecna would have, like, taken the tank apart piece by piece, like Magneto would.
Perhaps you're right, but what, two tanks?
No, he can't do two tanks.
Yeah, That's one too many tanks, James. The other one's gonna get him.
Yeah, that's one. That's three tanks. Oh, three tanks is. Vecna would have been crushed by the weight of that plot.
So the military shows up and that, you know, you're all under arrest. Nancy, you shot like 15 members of the U.S. Armed Service, Nancy.
People with souls.
You're going 11 worth.
You're going to fucking Guantanamo Bay instantly, dude.
And so anyway, they're all under arrest except for 11, who was walking 3 paces behind everyone else. And so she is, like, still, like, beyond the Stargate. But that's bad, because without the Vecna, it's all going to collapse into a giant whirlwind of shrapnel, killing anyone still there. And
I,
so,
yeah, I guess, sure.
In, like, a scene that was ruined by Eleven's poor acting, she has, like, a final goodbye with Mike. And she's like, Mike, I need to sacrifice myself. And he's like, why? And she's like,
do you, though?
Don't worry about it. Just to tell everyone I really needed to do it. And he's like, okay, but could you just explain why? And she's like, no, goodbye.
I won't. When I'm back in the upside down, I kill myself. So,
it's just very millennial. That happened. So she dies that way. She sacrifices herself to save her friends from the military, who were in that moment capturing them.
That's also supposed to explain why the military just leaves. They only wanted
11. They don't care that Nancy brained all those soldiers.
No, they just packed up and left. Like, no almost negative consequence on the town itself. Or, like, generally, based on what happened, almost no negative consequence for the main characters, even. Because 11 sacrificed herself, which honestly was the first thing that season 5 did that had any teeth whatsoever. And at least they don't go back and retcon that 5 minutes right. later.
I think Stranger Things has been heavily criticized for never killing anyone. I think the person who should be most mad about this is the actress who played Barb. She's like, yeah, those motherfuckers haven't talked about me since season 1. Meanwhile, these guys lived through everything.
This is bullshit.
But they finally killed a main character. Can you believe it? Sean Astin, and now this. 11.
Wow.
Gone, but not forgotten. But then we see the characters now. They're 18. I guess we're flashing back because they were like 20 already earlier this season. But now they're graduating high school.
Mm-hmm. We go to an epilogue, right? The epilogue is 18 months later. And we also,
and it's like 40 minutes long.
Yeah. And we see them graduate high school. They've been not paying attention to their studies at all, but still somehow all of them, at least the ones who were seniors in high school.
Imagine how easy the curriculum for, like, a high school senior in the 80s probably was. know.
Yeah, it had to be. They just got back in. They learned everything. And they all graduated, while the people or the characters who were children but still also already graduated are sitting on top of a roof thinking or talking about their possible futures. The epilogue, honestly, it's too long. And everything up until the point where they're playing D&D in the basement, which I think is the way I wanted it to end in the first place, and I'm glad it ended there. But at least, like, the 40 minutes before, there were moments that were good. When Dustin gets on stage and does exactly what Eddie described he would do when getting his diploma, that was some solid shit. And almost the entire conversation of, like, we're going to get together every 1 year in 3 months, and we're gonna always see each other. That when, you know, Steve and the rest of the folks on top, and I was just thinking the entire time, I was like, you guys are gonna get together like 3 times and then be like, ah, man, I can't this time. Just something, life got in the way, and then they'll never see each other again.
Nancy and Jonathan are not going to those hangouts.
No, they're not. They all saved the world, and nobody will ever know about it. This is the group of people who kept the world living. They all have to deal with that and live with that, the consequences of their actions, but they'll never know. But at the same time, in 3 years, they'll be like, do you want to meet at a bar? And it's like, I'm a little busy this weekend.
Yeah. And then at the very, very end, we should say Lucas and Max stay together as the one couple that stayed together. I mean, assumably Robin and her girlfriend did too. We don't know. Destin does the thing, and he moves away to college. Will, I think, also moves away to college. I was on my phone.
He moves away to college and he gets a boyfriend. He is openly with a boyfriend at a bar in the 80s.
Okay. And then Mike becomes a writer who, like, writes Stranger Things.
Right.
The book.
At least they didn't do that, dude. Because that was an option for them. They could have been like, and Mike wrote it all. This was all a D&D game.
By Mike Duffer.
Oh, my Lord, Atlanta. Dude, but, okay. I already said this, but, like, them playing D&D at the end and wrapping it up that way, and then the younger kids coming down and continuing to play D&D, I actually think that should have been the ending. But Max shouldn't have been there because she should have been dead. Like, that ending hit, but should have hit harder, but didn't because of all the plot armor that still shouldn't have existed.
In like, the very end of the episode, Mike lets us know his own fan theory about what happened, which is that Kali, who, like, got shot in the gut.
And then exploded.
And then bled out. Yeah, exploded. Actually, she, that was a clever ruse. And then Eleven dying, also a clever ruse. Just to throw everyone off of Eleven's tail so that she could, like, pretend to die in front of the military. But actually, she's still out there. Nobody dies in Stranger Things, except for you, Barb. And Sean Astin.
And Joseph Quinn as Eddie. Bummer. Right. You guys all had
only
to die.
Only the loser characters die.
Yeah. He retcons in his, again, like you just said, fan fiction. In my head canon, Eleven is dead because she has to be, because this show doesn't kill anybody, and for any consequences whatsoever to happen, just one consequence has to happen. She's dead. She got ripped apart in a space-time continuum, and she's gone. Have everybody realize that shit.
Yeah. Thank you for introducing that possibility, show. Since I only want to see feel-good moments in my 80s horror slasher nostalgia properties, I'm glad that everyone made it out, including the people who died. Even they got to survive in Mike's head, because Mike's going to write his own version of the ending where Eleven lived and they got married and he lived a happy, normal life.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that season 5 did poorly, but it all comes back to they didn't treat the audience with almost any respect whatsoever. And perhaps that's what the audience deserved. But And by the way, still not as bad as Game of Thrones season 8. Yeah, I think that's just such an easy comparison. But that is the kind of stuff where, like, all of the complaining on the internet has been the low-hanging fruit complaining, where, like, I don't think anyone's actually focusing in on the real shit, which is that, like, okay, Max, you said it. Max isn't blind. That extrapolate that out. That's the problem with season 5.
You know what I really wanted? I wanted Sean Astin to walk up and be like, guys, I'm not even dead. I survived that.
Yep. Eddie then comes around the corner. Eddie, he's like,
me
guys,
too, guys.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can still play a sweet guitar lick. Listen to this.
Nancy, is that you? Oh my God, Barb. We thought you were dead these past 10 years.
By the way, Nancy should have also died. She said that she was going to be bait, and then she, you know, again, shot the mind flayer to death, which is a unique way.
Classic problem of, like, they were over-leveled for the final boss, you know?
Yes. Right. They had been doing so many side quests that they got there, and they were like, actually, that was pretty simple. That was fine.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone said that it was going to be hard. Yeah, Nancy basically soloed the whole thing. Everybody helped out a little, I guess.
I mean, you could say a few things. Like, the runtime of every episode. There were long episodes. The pacing was way off. There were negative consequences. Jim Hopper is almost irrelevant for the entire second half of the season.
Well, and that might be for practical reasons also, because apparently...
He was shooting Thunderbolts at the same time?
Well, and his character's having, his actor, rather, is having, like, a personal nervous breakdown and is, like...
Sure.
Marred in controversy currently.
Yeah, his ex wrote an entire album about it. The album's pretty good.
Yeah, well, and he's currently, like, apparently, like, going, in a period of going nuts. We wish him luck.
Yeah, all the luck to David Harbour.
I mean, I hope MBM's face someday comes back to life as well when they reboot Stranger Things in 40 years, when the characters are all, like, in their 80s somehow.
The Duffer Brothers have said very specifically that they don't want to do a spinoff with the main characters of Stranger Things. Although
good,
every,
I don't think anybody else wants that either.
No, not really. But at the same time, every internet commenter is just like, give them 10 years, have all of their careers just kind of go downhill, and have Netflix come back. You know, at this point, assumably all of media is just one corporation called Netflix, and they come back and they're like, we're going to offer you a gajillion dollars. And they'll be like, No, I'm sticking to my guns. Like, yeah, you're out of your fucking mind.
And that's Stranger Things' final season, everybody. Pretty bad. A lot of people I know who watched the first 4 seasons did not end up even watching season 5.
Okay, no, that's dumb. You gotta still finish shows, dude.
HBO boys Adam did not watch the last season of Stranger Things.
Spooky Adam, dude?
No, Adam, other Adam. That he wasn't gonna watch.
Oh, Carndiggle? Yeah, sure. I mean, that's, you should watch it. You know, I at least think people should finish things. I don't care what they are.
Yeah. Finish what you started. Don't quit anything. Don't, if a show gets really bad, see through it all the way to the end. Otherwise, you'll never know if maybe at the very end it got good again.
Right. You can never prove that to yourself. And you can't participate in the negative internet discourse, which is the reason to watch anything.
So, Ryan, does this show have a Patreon or what?
The HBO Boys, that is? Yes, it does have a Patreon. Patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. For $1 or more a month, you can join that and listen to all of these episodes earlier and ad-free. You also get access to the private Discord, where you can talk to all the local HBO boys about what you would like for us to review and recap next, which is a huge perk. Again, only $1. Patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. So yeah, I would just jump right over there because there are so many perks. We record a bunch of Patreon stuff that, like, doesn't ever get out to the main feed, and for special folks who in the $1 club, that could be you. How is it not you already?
And thank you for having me on the show, Ryan. Thanks for editing it, Adam. And if people If you really love this voice, I've got a YouTube channel. The odds that you will like the things that I post are astronomically small. But you could check it out. It's Erratic Jimmy. Ryan's on. Ryan's in a few videos.
Yeah, no, it's so good, dude. I mean, yes, but to be fair, like, our thing and your thing is reaching a very niche audience, right? We have changed our podcast name 4 times to try to bandwagon 4 different things. Also, as a complete side note, I'm watching Fallout Season 2 right now, actually really enjoying it, but I am thinking the entire time, Jonah Nolan and Lisa Joy, how fucking dare you, dude?
Yeah, right. You owe us. You go back and do. This is just like the delusional Netflix people who are like, they're going to. That's all right. That last episode was. There's going to be a better one, I'm sure, next week. That was when Game of Thrones ended. A lot of people, they put up a petition, rather, to have a new season 8 made. They're like, get everyone back together. Redo all 6 episodes of season 8, but do it right this time. That was a little bit less delusional than Stranger Things fans who did a little cargo cult of like, there'll be a 9th episode, surely, to fix all this.
Right. That in some fucking weird wonderland. Also, Adam always does the Patreon thing, so I always forget. I have to bring up the people who are patrons and shout them out at the end of the show. So really quickly, it is Cynthia.E, Buffalo Pizzle, Susan, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Please Adam, Please Adam, Please Adam, Please Adam, Please Adam, Please Adam, Please Adam. I love the HBO boys. Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jurds, Major Woody, and Butter Nickels. Appreciate the $1 or more a month. And I'm sorry I took me 5 extra minutes to bring up that list of names. But yeah, no, this is the #1 HBO /Netflix /Warner Brothers /Paramount Showtime, Paramount Plus, bandwagon podcast. You gotta jump in on this, dude.
Yes, thank you. And if there is a 9th episode of season 5 of Stranger Things, I will come back to recap that as well, just to be sure.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for guest starring on your own podcast, James.
And I will be back. And of course, everybody, for what is it? For House of the Dragon season 3, A Knight's Tale.
Right. Well, oh, yes. The fucking Dunkin' Egg,
Donuts on an egg croissant.
I saw a clip from Dunkin' Egg this week and everybody was dogging on it, where it was like lighthearted and fun. Yeah. And all the comments were like, oh, a lighthearted and fun, you know, right up until the end. A book that is in this universe was turned into a light and fun adaption, but nobody's going to like that, or nobody deserves or believes it deserves to be in this universe. Like, already people, it hasn't even come out yet, and people have already decided it's going to be shit. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And I will see you folks, what, in 2 weeks' time, I guess?
That's huge for us as local Erratic Jimmy fans.
Here we go. Bye-bye,
bye. Bye. Okay, bye.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.